San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right. Good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle, down to Cabo, out to the desert. And if you download the app for 760 KFMB, you can hear us on your smartphone, or we stream live on 760KFMB.com, and all the podcasts are at iymoney.com. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a family office expert advising several high net worth families. He's a best-selling author and an accomplished marathon runner and a lot of other things. But good evening, Richard. How are you tonight?
I am marvelous, Joe. I'm sprinting out of here after we're done tonight to go to the Tri-City Hospital Foundation Gala, because they're one of the big sponsors of my Oceanside Turkey Trot.
There you go. So
fun stuff.
OceanSideTurkeyTrot.com, which
it.
Is coming
we're
up.
We're going to see you out there this year.
You are going to see me. I don't know how far I'm going to run, but I'll bring a sweet potato and do what I can. But
stop halfway and get a cappuccino.
Anyway, we've got two great guests tonight. Yeah. The second guest is a journalist from the UT San Diego, Gary Robbins. We'll get to him in a little while. But on the line, we have a very accomplished professor of political science from UC San Diego, and his name is Thad Couser. Thad, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
That's wonderful. Hey, I know that you, you teach about, three courses at UCSD, correct?
At least.
But you do a lot of consulting, a lot of traveling, and I think you were just in Paris giving a talk about the election results. So can you tell us, what was that conference about, and maybe we can start going over some of your findings.
Right. Well, the whole world was watching last week as America turned right and elected a Republican Congress. So there are actually a lot of French scholars that study California politics and American politics in general. So we're at Sciences Po, which is the big fancy French political science institute. And there were French scholars, American scholars. I was there, a guy from Columbia University, and then a whole lot of American expatriates in the audience, as well as French residents who care about America.
So were these mostly academics, or were they people in politics per se, and lobbyists, or was it a mix of everything?
It was a mix. It was a lot of academics and students in the morning, and then in the evening there was actually the showing of a film about Governor Pat Brown, California's governor, made by his granddaughters, and that brought out a couple hundred folks who were a lot of them the Democrats abroad. You know, people organized for the Democratic Party live abroad, and they needed something to shake them out of their depression last week.
But why the fascination with California?
Because I think a lot of people think that this is where California's diversity and all of the interesting politics that comes from that, that's where France is headed. So France is getting more diverse. They've had some riots, just as California's had in the 90s and in the 60s, and so they look to California as a hint towards their future.
Well, we're about ready to burn down the Bastille over here, so what the heck. But hey, how was that documentary, by the way? Was it pretty good?
Show. It's what, California State of Mind, and it really, it has, lots of governors, Tom Brokaw, just an amazing group of people giving their thoughts, and then a lot of video that transports you back into the 1960s when California was built. We built water projects. We built UC campuses, including UCSD.
What do you say we track that down and maybe show it on campus or somewhere? I think that might be
great.
All right, we'll talk about that. But anyway, let's go over some of the results here. I went through your slides, and it was titled, "Was it a tsunami or a ripple?" And what's your take?
Well, I think obviously this was a big Republican surge across the country. We saw it most obviously in the retaking of the Senate seats. But again, that was really no surprise, right? We knew all the models were predicting that, because the Democrats were trying to contest all these really red states, very Republican-leaning states, strongly, homogeneously white states without a lot of the recent immigrant voters, Latinos, Asian Americans, and African Americans, who have been such an important part of the Democratic Obama coalition. You didn't have those in Montana, South Dakota, so it was no surprise that Republicans won there. the two big surprises were how well Republicans did in state houses. They took, you know, many of these governor's races in blue states like Massachusetts and Maryland. They captured more state houses than they've had in almost 100 years, state legislatures.
Mm-hmm.
And the other big surprise was at the same time that that people were electing all these Tea Party folks. So in Nebraska, you know, a Tea Party candidate won the Senate race by 27 points, and the state enacted a minimum wage law, one of four states to raise their minimum wage.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that were incongruous, weren't there?
I mean, yeah, you know, Alaska, Oregon, and the District of Columbia make marijuana legal. California really reduces sentences for people convicted of drug and property crimes. So there, on all of the initiatives, there is this leftward turn at the same time that for candidate races, we're taking a rightward turn.
Mm.
It's because of the economy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in my humble opinion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Richard and I both have wanted to ask about the turnout. I mean, it was abysmally low. But compared to other midterm elections, was this pretty typical or was this lower than usual?
Yeah, this was bad, right? So midterm elections, without the presidency up for grabs, turnout's always low. But this was lower in just about every state than we normally see. And California, you know, we don't have the full numbers until all the mail ballots are counted. But we may set the low the record for the lowest turnout in history for one of these midterm generals. Just as in June, we set the record for the lowest turnout in the history of a primary election in California, with only about 25% of voters turning out.
But can I ask a philosophical question? Because you alluded to this when you said that France is getting more diverse. I would argue that the voter turnout in California is not representative of the demographics of California. That is to say, only certain demographics vote. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Right, if you look at California as a whole, we're a state that's now slightly more Latino than white, but our electorate is about, depending on the election, between 70-75% white. Sometimes down as low as 65%, but it's still very strongly white electorate. And you saw that nationally, right? Where our electorate across the country is about 75% white, and that's not representative of where we are demographically yet.
And is that indicative of people feeling not included or disenfranchised? I mean, what is inherently behind that?
Well, part of that is what you have to do to be eligible to vote isn't equally distributed across ethnic groups. So Latinos and Asian Americans, much younger populations, so you don't have as many people over 18. Lots more people who are immigrants, either legal or here without documentation, here illegally. Either way, you're not voting until you become a naturalized citizen. And so with these newer populations, it takes a while to become politically incorporated. And that leads to these feelings of not being included, not being part of the electorate electing the lawmakers making really important decisions for everyone, whether they're a voter or not.
So is language a barrier too?
You know, our registrars have to do a great job of providing election information in San Diego. They're doing it not only in Spanish, but in Tagalog and in Korean and Mandarin and in lots of languages. But still, if you're watching an ethnic language media, maybe that media, you know, you aren't seeing as many ads, right?
Sure.
You're not inundated with Carl DeMaio, Scott Peters ads, right?
Right.
Maybe that's an advantage. But you're going to be less attuned to what's going on in the election.
Are we seeing the result of the Citizens United with all these additional ads now? Have they loosened all this dark money? I mean, they don't even know where the money's coming from anymore. Is that, and you're seeing, a plethora of more ads. Are we going to get more of that in 2016?
Well, we've certainly seen a lot of money. So this election, $3.7 billion, almost as much as a presidential election, right? And a ton of that money was focused on just a few handful of swing districts like the 52nd Congressional District, Scott Peters and Carl DeMaio here, or the swing Senate states. So a ton of ads in these places. It's not all due to Citizens United. That gets sort of the root of all evil for many political reformers. But it's partly that just the stakes of American elections are so high that there's going to be a lot of money, and then there are a lot of that money came not indirectly through through these shadow organizations that Citizens United allows, but directly to candidates from voters and from interest groups who just see a lot of a lot at stake when the Senate is up for grabs.
Mm. Well, Thad, we have to take a break right there, but we have to have you come back on, and we'll do a more extensive show because I only got about half of my questions. But thank you so much for being our guest, and we'll be in touch. Okay.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thanks,
pleasure. Dad.